Hello, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in for another episode of the Hunting Wars Live D&D Play Podcast. Just a quick notification before the start of the show, as this is our first full table recording session, the sound is just a little buggy from what you're used to if you've listened to the background story episodes. Please bear with us in our learning experience of recording and editing. We can promise that the quality of sound does get better after the first two episodes. From there on, we have achieved a cleaner setup for recording as well as more microphones and everything that goes along with that. So, enough with holding up your guys' fun, and without further delay, here is episode one of The Hunting Wars. Enjoy. Everyone, and welcome back to the Hunting Wars Live D&D Play Podcast. We are starting off with, session one for you guys, session two for us. Again, we apologize for that. So we're going to start off. Let's introduce ourselves so everyone knows who we are, what we are, and we'll go from there. Nate.
Yes, hi, that's me. Hi, yeah, so I'm Nate. I really like the D&D.
I'm here to have a good time.
The D&D.
Yes. I'll be playing Mr. Hagen-Dazs, a human summoner.
This took him with me maybe after I screamed.
I'm sorry.
Brilliant, yes. This should be fun. Corey.
I'm Corey. I'm playing Shahar, the Kensai Magus. I like this game. I've probably played this game the most now at this point.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you don't count. You don't even play half the time.
I play more than you.
It's only longer. That's not more.
And Sam.
Indignant Sam.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm playing Half-Orc Paladin, Gunslinger, and Tim Hamal. And I've been playing D&D longer than Corey has. It's for you, Corey.
Okay, my bad. You know what? There you go, Sam. It's all yours.
Thank you.
Gabby.
Hello.
Hi, it's your turn.
Hello. My name is Gabby, and I am playing Wes, who is a human gunslinger, and she is a 16-year-old child.
This is important.
In this universe, 16 is no longer a child.
If you can have kids.
Yeah, humans will reach adulthood.
You can have kids 15. Way earlier. By the way, like
11. Yeah,
yes.
I can.
What? Dude, is this why we want to start this?
Hello! Hunting Wars Live D&D Podcast.
I mean, if
here,
this isn't how we are playing started, a game, it's lying.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead.
Ice cream Häagen-Dazs. Yeah.
Just wanted to see what kind of flavors you could provide. A lot, guys.
I'm gonna be providing one solid one, which is gonna be salt. All these flavors, I'm choosing salt.
spicy.
No, that's for the summon to be. there's pain.
It's only the best soda that exists. Oh god.
It's a beverage.
You're not blowing up another soda. Oh, god damn it.
Welcome to the experience, guys.
So we're going to go through a bit of a recap for what you guys all missed from our first session so that you guys can enjoy your first session. For whoever wants who wants to start? Who wants to kind of give their experience?
Oh, right. I guess I can't point at myself. That doesn't work.
We have a volunteer.
Corey. for you, Parson himself.
So what happens with Shahar during episode one, essentially?
Shahar's first appearance. Well, okay, I can't say first appearance. I don't remember our timeline. Yeah, we're going to go with that.
Okay, so we all started in a dreamscape, first off, in a terrible nightmare dreamscape where we're in a galaxy that's being broken into mirrors. You don't remember this?
No.
Okay.
Apparently, Shahar doesn't either.
You obviously blocked out the horror of it, so let me remind you.
Oh, I remember. I touched the mirror.
Yeah, you touched it.
But then, bad shit happens.
Oh. Yeah, so tell us.
Dude, I don't remember what happens.
Okay, all right. So I'm pretty sure for yours.
I remember people burning.
Why did you volunteer?
I remember the arena fight. I was going to go over the arena fight.
All right. Okay. So basically what happened is...
Apparently somebody has to recap my character for me.
So basically what happened was everyone started off... kind of floating in a dark sort of spacious void. And as they floated through nothing, they basically came across a wall of mirrors. These mirrors reflected them, and it was completely full of lines and cracks. And when the players inspected the different mirrors, they found themselves pulled into a completely different world, a different realm, a different area. So for Shahar, what happened was is that she found herself amidst in a snowy forest and completely surrounded by people that she may or may not know. But what she does know is that most of them are on fire or screaming, running, and trying their best to get away from what seems to be Shahar herself. Soon just clawing out and trying to get to each person, everyone running, screaming, and fighting away until she just burned in the middle of a field, and then she woke up. Similar fates happened to the rest of the gang. It is Gabby, our character Wes. Wes found herself in an old temple. And with no way seemingly in or out, and exploring through, trying to figure out if it's a puzzle. And what ended up happening is that it started seeping with water through the cracks of the walls and slowly started filling up. And as it was filling up, she was able to hear distant, familiar voices kind of pounding through the ceiling, as if they know that she might be there and trying to get to her. But basically, as soon as the ceiling started to give way to them breaking through, Wes was sucked underwater and Wes woke up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hagen, instead of just inspecting the mirror, he straight up punched it.
Didn't like what he saw, I guess.
Yeah, straight up punched it, and what happened was is that behind him, a large and relentless fire was blazing behind him, and he started running forward into a town that was strange to him, and he found a large red dragon, and he ran up to it, and as he was trying to get his attention and to fight, his head just gave way to just internal screaming and anguish, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he blacked out. And
woke up in a cart.
Yeah, woke up. And then, similar sort of fashion, we have KT.
Hey, I don't remember mine.
Go tell me what happened.
So, KT inspects this weird stuff, evil. Finds nothing. Pretty sure I did detect evil on there. Or magic or something. I tried to detect something, but I'm no Sherlock. Then we're in this moonlit landscape, which is very eerie because I'm a sub-bro. And then there's my family on both sides, my mom's side and my dad's side. And they all decked out in their fine warrior gear stuff. And they play each other. What is doing stuff?
Interpreting dance.
They're apparently fighting each other, which is my family loves each other very much. It's very not cool. And they're looking to me, and they're both telling me stuff about how to fight the other side. And I'm just extremely conflicted. And then I try to stop them, but it doesn't work. And they just start killing each other under this eerie, eerie moonlight. And then I wake up in a cell.
Yes. You wake up in a cell. You found yourself in an underground dungeon, being woken up by guards to drag you around to do, you know, all the grunt work that they were not particularly fond of.
Cleaning up piss and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And through the cleaning, you're able to see some of the people. You're able to see a small halfling girl get dragged off upstairs, kicking and screaming. That was fun.
That was not fun.
Yeah.
I was very conflicted.
Yeah, you almost took your broom and beat some guards, huh?
I did. I almost took my poop shovel and was like, I'm about to shove this up places it's not supposed to go. But then there was a commotion.
Yeah, there was a commotion. So across the hall, basically, there were about five guards completely surrounding one small female who was just giving them all sorts of hell, beating the shit out of them. Most of them walk away with black eyes and limps and holding their groins. As Corey's character, Shahar, was just being
kicks
really...
Kicks ass and takes names.
Yeah. Was just being really feisty and not going into herself where she belongs. So they were pissed about that. That was a lot of fun. So KT got kind of shoved into his cell because they had to go deal with this bullshit. And all the while that was happening.
Roll for it.
It's me. It was me.
What?
Being perfectly far away from all of this.
Yes, perfectly far away from all of this. When you woke up in the back of a cart, and you were, you're currently being escorted by your friend Aubryn. From there, you got towards the outpost for like a city guard sort of thing, like a checkpoint.
Yep.
They looked over you and everything, and as you went through there, you were able to come over a hill and see the large, grand city of Kor, giant mining city. And you're able to like go in there and be like, wow, this is something. And all the while you're traveling in through there, you got to come in, you got to take a peek at Shahar, and you got to take a peek at KT.
Yep. Glorious
coming
peak.
In because Aubryn wanted to come in, and she was kind of in the market for some prisoner slaves.
Just, you know, it's a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday. He's like, there's some promising people. Let's bring them into the guild and they can work off their freedom with us instead of having to fight for quote unquote freedom.
Yeah. They can work off their freedom fighting some scary ass monsters instead.
Hey, it's a service.
It's not easy being a freedom fighter.
Oh.
It's a Wes.
I feel like it.
And on the Wes.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And, how did the child?
And then Wes woke up in a luxurious, nice room inside of a palace. Not familiar. Definitely not not anything that she would call home. But it was actually, she was there on behalf of Lord Mast, who had previously been having fun interrogating and borderline torturing the quote-unquote child, seeming to try to gain something from, you know, whatever questions he had, going over, like, why do you got these nice gems?
Why do you have a gun?
Why do you have a gun? Who are you? Where are you from? What's happening? And for some strange reason, in the last week, he kind of treated you to house arrest in luxury, seeming to have something up his sleeve, some sort of idea of what you are just going through, and eventually giving her an ultimatum of, hey, come with me, enjoy my kingdom with me, by my side. We can make it official through typical marriage routine, or
sex with 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Try to keep you here for some reason, or, you know, don't. And, you know, test your luck and your fate out there in my precious, precious arena.
And I called him a little bitch.
Yeah, you call him a, you called him a little bitch many times.
So many times.
I think that was the first word out of Wes's mouth of the game.
Little bitch.
Baby's first words.
Baby's first words.
Little bitch.
So from there, everyone going through, you know, meeting each other, and then Hagen coming up, and he got to meet Mast, because Mast and Aubryn are old, what seem to be colleagues of some sort. That's and right. They're just kind of going, hey, thanks for coming to my city. Nice seeing ya.
Shaking each other's
dicks. The other one's
dicks.
Like, you're enjoying luxury a lot. That must be fun. While I'm out in the woods.
Doing work.
Yeah. And so Hagen and Wes got to meet. I'm going to keep switching back and forth. Hagen and Hagen. So
please,
sorry.
Let's just stick with Hagen like it was originally supposed to
be.
Does that trigger you? You're just thinking about ice cream this whole time?
Yeah.
Triggers?
Exactly.
I was getting ready to just start saying anytime you did an attack, I'm just going to pull up another like ice cream flavor.
Way to go, Bananas Foster. Nice miss, Rocky Road.
Seriously, that's what I was going to do.
And so with everyone getting to meet each other and the small child getting thrown into a dungeon because of her disobedience and bratty attitude. And
typical.
Oh, we forgot the reason why I'm going
to
be in the arena next day.
There you get to be in the arena because for some strange reason, there's some sort of weird contact that Aubryn has with the person that seems to be running the prison cells. And he was able to make a deal with purchasing some likely candidates, you know, as a wager. He's like, well, why don't we put in my young protege into the arena? And like, if he bests your best, then maybe they're not that great. And you can give me them cheaper.
Yep.
Official Dragon Slayer here. And you're just like, oh.
Just like,
wait, I slayed tigers too.
Yes.
Yeah, so he got to help.
I helped, actually.
No, I'm pretty sure the wording that Auburn used was that he'd slayed two tigers
by
himself.
I said that, actually.
This tiger slayer.
Megan said that to try and sound tough.
Yes.
And the lady.
She was like, oh, really? I don't believe you, basically.
And then I also remember somewhere in there during Hagen and Wes's meeting, someone else taking a liking to Wes as well.
Oh yeah. So at the site of
isn't it in your hat?
A child. Oh no, there is something under the hat though.
It's hair.
Not hair.
Lots of hair.
Lots of hair.
He's got a full head of hair and
tattoos.
More. secret face tattoos, I guess.
I thought that was Shahar.
Oh, probably Shahar. But yeah, seeing the sight of Wes and this noticeably creepy older guy, and the creepy older guy described her as, I think, partner or somebody important, without being directly evoked, Hagen's summon, Sylphin, decided to evoke herself and have a comment or two before she was dismissed.
Yep, it was good. I'm glad we all have control of our powers.
Yeah, there's some work being done there.
Then from there, everyone just kind of went off through their night, sleeping in cells, or someone actually getting to sleep at an inn, which is pretty cool.
Hey, guys.
Privileged bastard.
I'll save some of the pillow mints for you.
Yeah. And
is that the new Haagen-Dazs ice cream flavor?
Pillow mints. Dreaming up new flavors.
I'm going to not get your gun for you.
So we're gonna start off then, and we're gonna find ourselves. Yes, we go into sleep, and so we find ourselves in a deep slumber. And as we lay there, we start hearing what sounds like a distant call. And as you start to hear just these fading words, you then come to and find yourselves floating in a spacious void.
Ah, damn it, not this again.
This time, however, as you awaken into this void, being, you know, just floating, and not really seeming like you're able to move, but no matter where you go, it seems like the surroundings are moving past you instead.
Emotions like this.
Yes, emotions. From there, you realize that you are completely surrounded by these walls of broken mirrors.
I did not like this place the first time.
Now, to kind of go through everyone's experience, I'd like you all to roll an initiative so that we can just kind of break down.
You get an initiative bonus?
Yeah, you can use your bonus.
I got a natural one! Jake rolled a natural 20!
So I'm
starting things off right, guys.
Apparently he's going to see the balance.
Got a 9.
I'm seeing 9, 1, 1, and 20. What's your 20?
But wait, I actually rolled a 17.
You have a plus 6?
So, Hayden.
That's me.
As you float into this void, you find yourself surrounded by mirrors.
Where I remember the last time this happened to me.
Vaguely.
You're looking for.
Maybe a bunch of this time. All right. Is there a wall of mirrors approaching me?
None approaching you. They all seem to be about 20 feet around you in all directions.
What's below me?
Below you would be more. Completely encased.
I'm gonna kneel down and touch the ground with my own hands.
And as you float down to the ground and you land on the mirrors and you touch it, you're able to see yourself and your hands, but it's not familiar. You see some longer hair, dust and scars and clothes and that you aren't used to seeing on yourself. Some of it seems different. You're not sure or how you got the tattered scars, or you're not sure how you came about having a lance strapped to your back.
I got one of those big point sticks.
And you're very unfamiliar with what you see.
That's weird. Take a lean over. There's another one nearby, right?
Yeah, as you can walk forward 20 feet to the next mirror. But as you start moving forward, the mirror starts moving back away.
Like in front of me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's weird.
So the closer you get, the further it gets. And it's not like you're not moving because the sides...
They're all moving too.
They're moving too. So the area that you're encased in seems to be stretching forward as you move forward.
I'm gonna remember the last time and take a quick look behind me.
Yeah, you look behind you and just seems like...
Just an elongating mirror hallway.
Mm-hmm. Elongating mirror hallway.
I didn't realize we were at the carnival.
This ain't no fun house.
Where's my candy?
Remembering the frustration I felt last time, now it's coming back. I'm gonna... take a run at the one that's getting away.
Okay, and as you start running, it just completely zooms back and it just turns into this pitch darkness. You can see the mirrors on the floor, the ceiling, and the sides of the wall keep going, but you can't see anything completely further down but black.
So it's like it disappeared. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep running.
You keep running.
Keep running.
And you start hearing a voice.
Okay.
The voice sounds distant. It seems to be calling out, but not trying to gain anyone's immediate attention. It seems to just be voicing out, not directly at you. But you do hear it and feel it all around you. And then from there, we're going to go to KT.
So I get for talking.
And you're going to find yourself in a similar situation.
Okay.
You're feeling the voice all around you.
Is it speaking common? Can I tell?
Yes, it's speaking common. If you sit there for a moment, you're able to hear what sounds like an older woman. And it's just kind of echoing as if bouncing between all the mirrors and into your head. You know, you hear it saying just words, fate, anguish, mercy, mission, torn, together. You hear small words like that.
and they just keep coming all around.
Does it feel like I'm being spoken to by a divine presence? Can I do like
an yes, you can.
Ooh, what we're gonna do. Here's hoping all of them suck. Yes. I rolled a 9.
So you hear the voice, and it feels as though it should be divine with just the nature of you being able to feel it all around you.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you couldn't really tell if it actually was or wasn't. But it feels similar to what divinity should be, but could be anything else.
KT didn't like Dreamland the first time. I don't think he's gonna like it the second.
So do you do anything?
No.
You kneel down again.
Mm-hmm.
And as you kneel, you find that the room's dynamics completely reverse. And so with the wall behind you now elongating in the opposite direction of what you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you should feel wind moving past you, mm-hmm. but you still feel very still, and your surroundings look as though they're moving and shooting past you as if you're being launched forward.
Okay.
And there we're going to go to Shahar, and you're in the same situation where you're being launched forward.
That's a trip.
Like, it's probably giving you a headache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I don't know, I'm just gonna chill till this bride ends.
Nobody wants to do anything. Feels too scary.
Well, he said I was flying forward. Did I stop?
No, you're still flying forward. Not so much flying. You are standing, but everything is moving past you as if you're on like a conveyor belt.
You know.
Okay, I'm going to.
Going to warp speed.
I'm going to attempt to cast a spell.
I'm going to try to cast
Dazzling Lights.
Okay.
Does it work in this space?
Yeah, it completely works.
I try to send one of those lights forward to touch the mirror.
Okay. It's still just complete void and abyss that you're launching into.
Okay.
However, as you're still moving forward, it seems the light at the end of your range seems to be staying still.
Does this place work like zero gravity?
It can.
So if I turn around, can I turn around?
Yes.
And cast Burning Flames. Will I shoot behind me?
Yes.
We're going to give it a shot. So I'm going to spin 180 degrees and fire Burning Hands in the direction I'm flying away from and try to shoot to where the light's at.
Like okay. Wally in space.
As you shoot forward, you see the light coming to you fast. And as you do...
Brace for impact?
Yeah, as you do, you come right in front of a mirror, and you just completely, shoulders and backs just completely crash into it, and it breaks open. As it breaks open, the piece, shards and pieces just kind of immediately in a rush just shatter and spread out the sides, but then stop as if they couldn't move through the space anymore. And you come through, and almost like in some sort of like gelatinous object, you kind of are slowed down and like caught by air. And you're able to turn around, and you see ground and trees and mountain and normal just sort of landscape below you as you float down to the ground.
Oh, yeah, I'm floating. I was like, oh, god damn it.
Yeah, as you're floating down to the ground, and Wes, as you're floating down to the ground,
mm-hmm.
you... are able to look forward, and you see a large sort of shimmering and shape changing shadow just kind of flickering like fire, sort of large black void moving, and it seems to be about like 100 feet
in front of you on the ground.
Is it moving towards me?
It's not moving towards you. It just seems to be reverberating against itself in one spot.
I'm going to slowly approach the void.
Okay. You land softly on the ground, and you're able to move towards the void. And as you're moving towards it, you start hearing that voice get louder and louder, saying more words like band, together, and triumph, mission. And it just keeps repeating those sort of same similar words over, and it gets louder to where you feel the space that you're in is shaking. The very, what you would assume would be air, is moving around as if every molecule is starting to vibrate. And as you come closer to the void starts taking shape.
Is it a shape that is immediately recognizable?
Not immediately, but as you get closer, it immediately springs up to about gargantuan size, and it is blocking everything else from behind it, and it's forming a more humanoid shape. And as the shape is starting to form, you're able to see atomical structure. You're able to see like a skeletal form. What looks like bones look to be just another limitless void of space and galaxies and stars within the figure that's being shaped by this shadow.
Does the form itself seem to be threatening at this point?
As you're standing there and the air is shaking, the shadow starts to fade off of the figure as it's becoming more and more in its own form. It's hard to process something this large and this limitless. You're finding it to be a little bit uneasy. It is something you've never even conceptually thought about, let alone seen.
I'm going to, seeing this happen before me, Wes is going to back away as much as she can.
Okay, now there are, like I said, like trees, bushes, rocks, different things surrounding you. This is a normal sort of open plain leading up into like a small sort of sparse forest surrounding. Do you want to try to duck behind something?
Is there anything else in this, I'd say, dream plane besides
the figure?
The figure in the forest?
So as you look, you kind of look past your surroundings and you're able to see those like wall of like broken, cracked mirrors, as if you're still in that long hallway, but it seems to be kind of enveloped an entire world, almost as if you're not sure if there's anything beyond it or if that's just it.
I'm going to try and go around the void and make it towards the broken mirrors.
Okay, you can make it a straight shot towards the broken mirrors, but as you get closer and closer, the further away it seems, and you just keep coming across more and more landscape. But as you start to walk further and further away, you feel the earth beneath you rumble, and you hear this heart-piercing roar coming from the side of you. And as you're able to look at what was causing that, you're seeing that that form that the shadow was manipulating around has finally come to and is complete, and it just lets out this monstrous sound shaking the world that you're in, and it comes ablaze in like this purple spectral fire, and it's marching towards you.
Seeing that, Wes is going to make a run for it if she's not already running at this point.
Yes, and as you're running away, Hagen, with this beast behind you.
Oh. That's not good. Do I see anyone else? Is it just me?
Just you. You were just looking to see if you can approach these mirrors.
And then now I'm in this plane with all these trees and...
But you were here. Huh? And you were in this plane with all these trees.
Yeah.
And you inspected this void, and you saw the mirrors on the side of your horizon, and you went to approach these mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like everyone else was in a... Like, actually managed to, like, fall through something. Am I still in the mirror plane? Or
so everything that just happened...
Also, I was witnessing.
You weren't witnessing. You
experienced. Okay.
The exact same thing. You...
Are we sharing... All right, you know what? I'll share that for my speculation for outside of this. nice. Do I have... So it's coming pretty fast.
As you see it approaching you,
mm-hmm.
it seems to be what you were experiencing when you first entered the void, where
oh, hey, that thing.
You couldn't quite move, but the world around you was moving towards and past you. So it's in the same spot, and it looks like it's coming towards you, but it's in the same spot. However, you're seeing the space behind you
start to push forward. So I have enough time to cast something that is considered an action.
Yes, you have plenty of time.
Cool. Can I summon Eidolon?
You absolutely could.
Alright. Then I will be casting summon Eidolon. And I will be summoning Odessa.
Odessa.
So what I'll be doing there is mounting Odessa, which is something that is dragon-like. Has the features of it, has winged arms, and is capable of flight. Be hopping on board that and trying to fly.
Yeah, go
try
for it.
Fly away.
Yeah, you hop up and you start to fly away. You move about, what's your flight speed? Yeah, it's 60.
Yeah, it's 60.
So you move 60 feet, and how would you move?
I'd say in the, so since this, just trying to fly up and away in the opposite direction.
Okay, and as you go away in the opposite direction, you feel the opposite way of the beast behind you still coming closer and closer, and you start in the distance to see a mirror wall just kind of moving through things as if trees and mountains just kind of bled into the mirrors and passed through them like you passed before. And it's coming closer towards you. And then we're going to go to KT. Now, you are on the ground after exploring, and this beast is coming towards you. And you are running the other direction.
Okay. So I'm not flying?
You're not flying.
Cool. I got all my shit.
Earlier, when you looked in the mirror, when you landed on the floor, you did not recognize what you normally saw on yourself. You saw a large war axe.
You got a boomstick?
You got a boomstick.
I'm gonna turn around my boomstick.
Okay, so it is about 100 feet away from you.
Do I have my special boom powder?
You have everything.
Sweet.
You have all the normal sort of equipment that you're used to having.
KT is going to square up, pull out his hand cannon, insert some dragon's breath cartridges in there, and go boom.
Okay. And what is this? This sounds like a one.
Did it blow up in your face?
No, baby.
I should say, we got stats for that, don't we? She rolled a 2, by the way.
I rolled a 13.
You know, don't your guns, if you roll a certain number, don't certain guns have a chance of blowing up?
Shit,
I'm pretty sure you just destroyed your gun in the dream world.
I just destroyed my dream gun.
Right, because what's the misfire chance on this?
Is this a sign?
Is it 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so...
God,
you misfired.
Completely. Didn't blow up.
Okay, so as you loaded your weapon,
I just whipped.
You shot forward.
My powder was wet.
And as you shot forward, you just kind of see the explosion from the mouth of your weapon just kind of go out. And as same as when the glass shattered as you entered this area, they went out fast but then stopped midair as if they're unable to move. And then from there, Shahar.
Am I still floating?
No, you're on the ground and you felt like you were just trying to attack this beast.
Well, I don't run no fight. So, I'm gonna at least give it a shot.
All right, this thing is about 50 feet high.
Okay.
That's tall as shit.
Yeah, it is gargantuan size.
All right. Are we playing with first level? Oh, fuck, I'm using the wrong character sheet. Son of a bitch.
I figured it out. Jordan, it's a breath.
There's the fifth level character sheet.
All right. I suddenly become
better at this game. yeah, we're gonna charge the giant.
Cool.
Charge the giant.
Wakizashi in hand going.
Yeah,
basically. War cry. Fucking charges it.
Alright, let's roll.
I'm gonna provoke.
You're gonna provoke.
Okay, go ahead. You're definitely gonna hit me before I reach you.
You're going to see us all. It swings.
You know what? Maybe we're out of this quirky dream world.
Is a 14 hit?
14? No, not even close.
Somebody
roll. I'm gonna swing back now. Suck it.
22.
22
hits.
All right, and Wakizashi slashes 4. Wow, 12 points of damage.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maxed out my damage for this thing.
So essentially, you're just like a little kitten that just like bit the ankle.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know that. I slashed an ankle for 12 points of damage, and the next round's gonna be so much worse.
Wait, is this like a purple fiery skeleton monster?
Yeah.
Cool.
Does that ring a bell?
No. I'll just make sure that we were fighting Ghost Rider or whatever.
Nicholas Cage.
Yeah, we're not fighting Nicholas. He's all right. Too hard.
I'm just saying, but like...
He's a neo-shaman, you know? Nicholas, it's a rare class.
Nicholas Cage-esque sort of gargantuan monster named Earl. I named it Earl, by the way.
Oh.
I think I've seen his show.
Yeah.
Something about...
Purple skeleton monster named Pearl. Right.
So as you slice into its ankles, it's going to just kind of throw its fist at you.
Screw you.
It's just like, I just imagine it like,
crush us all.
It just like detached it. 22
hit?
Yes.
Just dropped it.
Go ahead and take 8 damage.
That's 8. Okay.
I mean, it's not like he really threw the fist. He just dropped it on the ground.
So all right, 8 points of damage.
Drop the hands.
This is my...
Mm-hmm. All right, and Wes, your turn. As you almost got struck by this fist crashing down at you as you stand next to this beast, what do you do? And your time is up.
Damn it. I'm going to back up a bit.
Run.
Not yet. I'm going to back up to where she's still at a good distance without being as much of in a risk of getting hit, and she's going to take out her masterwork rapier and fire.
Wait. Fire your rapier?
Or masterwork revolver, I'm sorry.
My shit, my sword.
Welcome to today's session of Final Fantasy.
masterwork revolver. She's going to fire her masterwork revolver. Okay. This is why you got a name.
Yeah.
What's his name?
What?
Don't worry about that. We'll talk about that another time.
But you're
cool. Wrong. So a second gun just broke.
Oh, I'm kidding.
You guys are off to a great start.
I managed to not break it.
No? No?
No, it's not broken.
Does a 16 hit?
So what's your drop in the bucket?
So this is...
Roll damage?
Roll damage? Okay. Yeah, that's sorry, this is my first time playing a gunslinger. Give me a second.
It's the first time any of us have played with a gunslinger, I think.
So, 2 points of bludgeoning and piercing damage.
You shot at its toenail. Just chipped.
It no. just got its nails done. How could you?
That was manicure.
Cool. So where's that?
And as you shoot at it, it starts to kind of bring its hands back and just takes a deep breath.
Thank you for the appropriate sound effect.
I thought it was gonna be another joke.
As basically that happens, it takes a deep breath and perfectly times a breath attack of just purple and black flames at you. I need you to make a
difference. Oh no, what?
Let's pull
that up.
This was
quick.
I could rush
you.
It.
You should totally switch to me because I probably have better reflexes. That is a.
Wow.
15?
15?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you take full damage.
Oh god.
Never mind.
Okay.
Are we
don't
want to
be me.
You find yourself completely engulfed in flame.
Okay.
And it hurts quite a lot.
Do we wake up now?
How much damage do I take?
You're going to take 12.
12 points? Ooh.
It's going to be an ouch. For me.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. And from there,
all take 12 damage. Okay.
Oh, how would you? You're not us.
I'm confused.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm a new character.
Character.
I'm just confused.
D&D was Zane.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Now you can understand why I've been terrified from the very beginning. At least you didn't have to fight.
It's because he smiles a lot.
Everyone always thinks I'm lying because I smile. So, Hagen, as you roll out of purple flame.
Roll up?
Barrel roll. You find yourself to be about 60 feet in the air. And you are 40 feet away from this beast that is blowing flames at you.
So I'm gonna try flying. I'm gonna fly down about to about 30 feet and then move forward about 45 feet away.
Okay.
You said I'm 45 feet away?
Yes.
Okay. From the big beast. And then move an additional 20 feet forward.
Okay.
So, still within stuff, and I'm gonna cast Barbed Chain at it.
Ooh. Nice. Roll me a fly check.
So that's gonna be a 17.
Okay. And your Barbed Chain, is that a straight attack, or do I need to make a save?
So it's, I believe, a successful hit. It's if I can hit, then you'll need a save.
Okay, so go ahead and roll.
Oh yeah. So that's probably like not probably. It's gonna be over 20.
22. Ooh. Nice. So yeah, so as you cast this, you see just chains kind of erupt from your gear and your person, and it shoots downwards into this beast, piercing its like legs and arms, and it shoots down and tries to bind it to the ground. It thrashes, and the chains just simply move through its body, tearing it, not actually going through and
seemingly doing nothing to it.
It has to. It has to make a will save.
Yeah, it's, I'm sure it doesn't even matter. Cool. So, you don't even have to say it. I already know.
Okay.
It's not afraid.
Yeah.
But it's. I wanted to at least let it know that it has to try.
No, you're doing stuff.
Thanks.
Not too far off. As it does that, it's going to reach forward and try to grab you
okay.
out of the air.
So I can make a ride check to avoid that, mm-hmm. right? So, 23.
Okay, yeah, that works. As it just slowly lumbers and tries to reach towards you to grab you, you just kind of swoop underneath its grasp. And then from there, KT, just barely getting out of the way of being picked up by this beast.
I'm gonna attempt to try to shoot it again. And hopefully don't break my gun. That was a much better roll.
22. Mm-hmm. 22. Your shot completely bursts away, and you see all the pellets hit the bones that are protruding out in its chest, burying themselves into its flesh as it just kind of screams and roars. From that point, it's going to launch its fist out at you. With a 21 to hit. As it just seems to be coming down to smash you with its fist, you're able to just barely run out of the way as it's just shadow just kind of coming over you. And Shahar, with its fist in the ground and you barely escaping,
I'm going to fucking wreck it.
All right, as a mages, we are going to cause some motherfucking problems. First off, we're going to try to trigger spell combat. So, and we're going to try to cast Shocking Hands defensively, Shocking Grasp defensively. All right.
Ooh.
Oh, I failed.
Yep.
Ow.
So as you try to push the spell through your body and to launch it off at your foe, you feel this tingling sensation through your arm. And as it comes out to fully attack, it burns and pops and zaps your own hand. And you feel just kind of like your hands just kind of pop. And you feel sort of like burn and sort of like blackened forearm hand.
Okay, well, with a burnt hand, I'm still gonna try to make my swing since I don't lose that. I just lose the spell. Minus two, so 14 to hit.
14 to hit. As you're doing your
this sword. Yeah, this is the Wakizashi.
You come in and your blade comes down and hits its flesh and cannot sink through its skin.
Bummer. Ooh, I'm sorry, I rolled a two on freaking casting defensively. All right.
And so, Wes, as you feel as though you came close to hurting it with its sort of fist in the ground right next to you.
I'm going to take out my revolver again and try and fire at it once more.
Okay, make a shot.
All right. That is going to be a 20 to hit.
Okay, hit.
All right, and then
this guy
still comes up to 2 points of damage.
2 points of damage. So your single shot just kind of goes into its skin. And as it feels that, it rises up and from its hand, a dark spectral void kind of appears. And it shakes and shimmers and it just shoots right at you. 26 to hit?
That definitely hits.
All right. Okay. Go ahead and take 25 damage.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are
you? I'm dead.
Okay. And as you start to withdraw and retreat and run off, these void just shot forward towards you and completely just tears you apart as you're just moving, and you just feel it burn as you watch pieces of you fly. And as you are going through your last moments of consciousness, you hear the words, "Hello."
Character.
And
Hagen. What? You didn't answer my question.
Yeah.
Yes. With your back turned against this creature and currently trying to retreat, what do you do?
Well, I'm guessing it'd be pretty pointless to try to create a pit underneath it. Might make it trip a little bit. Good. So, is in the process of retreat, is the mirror actually getting closer?
Yes.
Then I'm gonna take the cue and go full 60 feet, just dash, or I guess fly straight towards it.
Fly straight towards it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What?
No,
why you say it like that?
I was just making sure.
I don't like that.
Welcome to Zeta's, you're terrifying again.
I'm so scared.
We've already killed the character. Second.
Okay, so for the audience who can't hear anything, he's smiling. Why?
Okay, so you're dashing towards it.
Yeah.
And then what?
That's a full round, isn't it?
Just making sure you're not like doing a charge.
You might as well charge.
I mean, is it within 60 feet of me?
Yeah.
Then hell yeah, I'm charging it.
Okay.
I'm gonna trample on that some bitch if I can. This is its fault as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, so we're gonna just go right to it. I've got Lance at the ready, just like, oh, this is you.
Okay.
It's all you, baby.
And go ahead and make your roll.
I'm gonna roll an attack on it. Okay, on the mirror. I mean, I'd like to go at the creature. No. I'm not going at the creature.
Oh, I
think I can't trample it over.
Okay, so yeah, you're just going just dive bombing straight into the mirror.
Yeah.
And with full speed and Lance at the ready.
Yeah. Just at the forefront.
Okay. You're going to go full speed and you're going to crash completely and utterly.
Ooh.
Just smash into it.
Nice.
You already hit the billboard.
Yeah, gonna
so I'm going to take a guess and assume that kills my Eidolon.
Yeah.
So I'm falling.
Yeah, you're falling.
But
falling gently.
Okay, so I don't have to cast Featherfall. Nice.
No, yeah, you're kind of floating down as you were before.
Well, okay.
And just kind of land on your butt. Like when a bird kind of smacked into the window and just kind of goes.
I hope there's an imprint of the Eidolon's face on there. Great.
And then it's gonna move forward towards you, which actually brings you closer to it. And it's going to
pretty sure you're dazed, bro.
Yeah, it's going to.
I'm about to get shot.
Stop it. We messed up. Friend.
Let's see.
It just saw this, like, fly go, like.
Yeah, so it's going to do its breath attack again at you. So it's going to take a deep breath in. And as it exhales, go ahead and roll a save. Be fine.
Oh snap, actually that's a 21.
Not quite.
No!
The number to beat is 28.
Alright, Sassy Pants, how dead am I?
So as it breathes out, it seems like a whole world of debris is being exhaled towards you.
Why are we finding Cthulhu?
Because I said to turn around and take a shot. You're welcome. And then Shahar over here was like, we're going to keep
going. Just tell me the number so I can
wait. Did we kill our party?
Yeah.
Oops.
He keeps looking at me. He's flinching as he's rolling. You don't need to roll that many.
Oh, I don't?
No. So I'm sure the first one or two is enough.
14.
I have 1 point.
You're out of the negatives. Yay.
I am living on some sad...
Living on borrowed time.
And that, as you lay there,
crippled,
with debris crashing into you and just barely breathing, you hear the words, burden.
And then from there, we're going to go, and with all this debris surrounding you, KT.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got this, KT.
So far, I would definitely see that. Surrounded by debris.
By debris.
Debris. am I touching the mirror?
No.
The mirror in the sky?
No, the mirror is about 5 feet behind you.
Behind me?
Yes, behind you.
Okay, because I'm facing the monster circle, right? Okay, I've decided to attempt to shoot the monstrous circle again.
Okay.
Smiting shot.
Let's roll a two.
Let's not roll anything but four or lower. Because my weapon's broken now.
Yeah.
You hear that, you motherfuckers? Oh, thank you, baby Jesus. Okay. Well, that's a 27?
Yeah, that hits.
Higher than 27.
I hit it.
Yes. So you need 4d8.
I got this.
You got 4d8. So she takes fire both shots.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there it is. Don't waste it.
By the way, you take a -4 firing both barrels at the same time. But it's negated by your charisma bonus, so you still hit, but you gotta keep that in mind. Use your reference.
Okay.
So it's 4d8 plus 15 plus 5, so plus 20. Oh my god. A lot of damage.
How much damage?
12, 19 plus 20, so 39 points of touch damage. That overcomes all damage reduction.
Yes. Yeah.
So you did lots of damage. Like, what else are you looking for here?
I wanted to die.
I want you to describe this amazing
amongst the debris, my weapon cracked, teetering on the edge of completely falling apart. I feel the warm sun of fiery burn presence of my goddess. Take aim at this flaming skeleton. And I shoot. And fiery holy light attack. And then purple flames. They flicker in the all-encompassing glory of the Empress of the Sun. She's your room. My lady. And I just pray to God that was enough to kill it. Or at least make it stop trying to kill me.
So as this holy blaze just travels and hurls itself forward at this beast.
Yep.
Hit it square in the chest.
Take that, Earl.
And it sinks its chest in from the blow. It kind of just like looks down as though something touched it.
Oh, fuck.
And it immediately looks up straight at you.
Pissed it off.
And it's going to...
It's going to shake my hand for a job. Well, none. Good blow, sir. I hope you're prepared for mine. And me and my wide tusks are not prepared.
Your very wide tusks.
My wide tusks. My wide lower tusks. The ones there. So got like,
the low ones?
Yeah. Like that little open.
Underbite. Yes, it's underbite.
Underbite. It's the bottom. I'm just trying to add some humor to my day.
Okay. So it's going to just bring its arms out and just completely stretch itself out. And then that shadow that we saw earlier, just kind of enveloping it and dwindling, just kind of come up from its hands. And then around it, starting from the center, just complete and utter darkness swallows it up. And the darkness in the sphere comes out and envelops yourself as well.
How do you get in the dark?
And go ahead and make a fortitude save.
I wonder if KD actually does this. Well, I think we'll be pretty. That's only a 20.
Does not make it.
Yeah, I think so. Scared of the dark. Ooh, how's your dark water?
And 32 damage?
I got it.
We should be dead by now.
I am not dead, thank you very much.
I'm surprised. I rolled really low.
Well, that's your fault.
Okay, and you are completely enveloped in darkness, Shahar.
I still have 6 points.
Is it magical darkness? Because I technically have dark vision 60 feet.
It is deeper darkness.
Damn it.
And you are not in
the uniform, so.
What?
Deep uniforms are obviously deep. The
darkness just
in there. We made deep uniforms up.
Is that's any of this real?
We are currently
I'm really
fighting
hoping it's not.
A dream skeleton right now.
Okay, fair enough, I guess.
This
is not going
just
well.
Have a,
it's real.
Just have a herd of deep unicorns come out of the ground and
I'm
going
to attempt to make an acrobatics check to roll backwards.
As you roll backwards, how far are you trying to roll?
Well,
this thing is pretty far.
Just roll it. Or back to the game. Just roll all the way back. We'll speak. Like retreat roll. Like
well,
60 feet rolling back.
I guess instead of trying to do an acrobatics check and still getting to do something afterwards, I could just full retreat.
Yeah.
Full retreat.
Right at that point.
Since I can't see what I'm doing. So I'm just going to full retreat back 30 feet and hope I get out of the darkness after moving back 30 feet.
All right, you move 30 feet and you come across a wall.
Damn it!
Shit. How'd this wall get here?
That's still there. That's every time it approaches you.
Jet.
Break the wall. Break the fourth wall.
I can't now. I full retreated so I wouldn't get punched in the face.
Also, I need you to now make a fortitude save.
Don't die. Or die. Because maybe if we all die,
20.
We wake up.
Nope. And it was going to be a natural 20, and then it rolled backwards.
Or is this going to be like Inception, where if you die, you die?
I think I just died before Hagen.
No, before you. Out of the three of us left.
I'm surprised.
Right.
Why are you rolling so many dice?
Because he's killing us.
Brutalizing.
Don't you understand the kind of DM he is?
34.
He's a killer.
Totally dead.
Okay. As you run and come across the wall, you feel just ice and chill just completely envelop your body as you just stop moving. And you go
Dead. Fuck.
And you hear the word failure.
Wow. Stuck. Man.
Ouch.
Daddy don't like you.
It's gonna cause me to develop daddy issues.
Hagen. Hagen, how are you?
He is just flying blind.
I'm hogging my Eidolon real hard.
You thought I'd pick his name because of ice cream. No, it was for the puns!
Here's the hoping things don't turn a little sour on you.
I don't have my lance now.
Yep, you're weaponless.
I mean, it's not like it did anything anyway.
And then you're in the dark.
I don't have any ranged spells.
Nope.
You not have any ranged spells?
Summoners don't really have ranged spells.
Don't I put them all into things.
Yeah, into
buffs.
Buffing the Eidolon, or keeping the Eidolon alive. Sadly, the Eidolon is not the one having a problem staying alive as much as I am.
I mean, it's just bad once I can just, came back.
It did, know? But I can bring it back quickly.
Yeah.
Like when you take I used my one range spell, actually. Shoot. Is the environment changed anymore? Does it look
that
like...
It doesn't change. You just know just, that the wall has kept getting closer and it's completely pitch black.
Okay.
You can't see anything unless you can see through deeper darkness.
I'm not looking to splat on the side of a window again. So I'm not going to full force charge into the darkness this time. Well, is it close enough to me to attack it now?
Yeah, it's like about 30 feet.
No, it's not.
Like, honestly, the whole perimeter is probably like 60 feet at best.
You need something on the level.
Okay.
Sunlight. Break through deeper darkness. Your flaming sword.
Then,
that only counts as a regular torch.
I see if I have pounds on this one, right? Okay, cool. So I can do full round attack after.
Is it paladin?
No, full round attack would take up.
You should have a couple,
actions.
I believe.
Right, but with pounds, I can do that after I.
So it's moving, and then you're going to do a pounce, and everything has a full round of a charge attack.
Yeah, but I don't want to like run, like obviously I can't overrun it, so I just want to kind of like run up to it, like
okay.
Charge to it,
mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, put something, whatever's on the ground closest to me.
Yeah.
And then do, that's, it's going to be an attack with Odessa, so that'll be.
Your flaming sword would be.
I guess it would be a bite, and then it has two claws as well. I've already got it. Deducted, so then I'll. I have three. Okay. So only one of them is probably going to actually hit, and that one's going to end up with a 22.
And that misses.
Cool, so none of the others hit.
None of the others hit.
That was the biggest one, so absolutely nothing happens.
Okay. As you just fly through this darkness and just trying to claw and grab onto anything, I need you to make a fortitude save.
Okay. Oh, cool, 10.
10? All right. with you flying through the air, I mean, I can
just tell me.
But
just
as
tell
you're
me.
Flying through the air, you and your Eidolon freeze in mid movement, and as you start to freeze, the wings lock up, and you start to just drift and fall down.
We're gonna shatter into a thousand icicles.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm dead too now.
Yay!
And then to our last member, KT. With you feel the cold approaching your body, and everything's
mm-hmm.
starting to get numb.
I pull out my last ditch here. Is Yon Banyan, my flaming greatsword.
Did you say Flamignon?
Yes, I put a Flamignon. Okay. The flaming greatsword.
Cool. As you pull out your flaming sword, the normal glow that you're accustomed to seeing shine your way through battle is not there.
But there's still some glow.
Through deeper darkness?
Because it counts as light, it lowers deeper darkness to just regular darkness. And since she has dark vision, she can see through darkness.
Okay.
So she gets 30 feet.
Yeah, you get 30. Yeah, so the normal glow that you're used to is not there. Just a very dim, subtle flicker lighting your way through the cold and dark.
Is that
that
wall there still behind me?
Yep.
Ooh. Right
in
the mirror. All the bad luck.
I went at it full force, you know.
I mean, we'll just see. We'll see what happens. Nothing. Nothing happens.
As you clink your blade across this wall of glass and mirrors, your body succumbs to the cold and starts to freeze over. And as you do, you hear that voice again, and all you hear is the word solitude.
Well, screw you, lady. Supposed to be helping us, but you ain't doing jack. We wake you. It's a terrible dream. You're gonna have PTSD for dreaming.
And with the cold surrounding your bodies, you start to hear shuffling and noises, and with the disturbance that you're starting to get used to the silence, and you're starting to get used to being alone in the dark with death.
A failure.
You come to, and you hear the rattlings of chains and armored men passing through halls and barred doors opening and closing and jittering old prisoners yelling, rats scurrying. As you wake up back in your cells, with an utter chill and a dire feeling of being alone.
You don't ever want to fall asleep again.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to this first full table session of the Hunting Wars Live D&D Play Podcast. Now, as you may have noticed, the episode did not end as we normally like to wrap things up. This being due to the fact that partway through the session, we decided to go ahead and cut things from there so that we can improve our sound quality for the rest of the session. So with that, the next episode will be the second half of the session, as we were able to improve our quality of sound and recordings and efforts. We wanted to make sure that you all had a more enjoyable experience listening in. So again, thank you for tuning in, keep playing, and we'll see you again next time.